Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Mother of the Eucharist, pray for us. Many of you have heard a reflection on the Eucharist at a Deus with Mary for years now. You might be running into your 50s and 60s, as in the amount of times you've heard one of the friars, or possibly even one of the parish priests, talk about the Eucharist. But there's no better context in which to reflect on our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament than the context maybe of Lent. It's already Lent in 4 days. Next Wednesday, it's Ash Wednesday already. Fasting again, ashes on our forehead, proposing to do penances and hopefully enduring and persevering at least for most of Lent. But you know the three works of Lent that we are called to do. I'm sure you're all familiar because you all know your catechism so well. This prayer, penance, my goodness, and almsgiving, giving to the poor. Prayer in itself is a penance, and penance and almsgiving are a prayer. But we are Catholics. We, through no merit of our own, through no good work that we've done, we've been given the fullness of God's revelation, and as much as we can have this side of heaven. And in that fullness of revelation, we have come to know that God became man, and that man became for us the Eucharist. He took on the appearance of bread and of wine. It's no longer bread and wine. It's the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. The substance of the bread is gone and has been transformed into the substance of Jesus Christ. We know this. We believe this. Scripture proves it to us all over the place, with both the institution of the Eucharistic narrative and the narratives of the Eucharist institution and the Eucharistic narrative itself. John chapter 6, verse 30 onwards, if you want to take a look at it yourself. We are sure. We've heard of the miracles. When the Eucharist is turned into actual flesh that you can see and feel. The miracles where it has bled, the host has bled, so many. Sometimes when a priest has doubted and our Lord in his mercy showed him a miracle. We have all the proof we need that Jesus actually is here. In his mercy, he doesn't come in his glory, but comes in a form. Is there a humbler form than a piece of bread? And so, as we begin our Lenten journey, as we begin to think in these last days before Lent, what are we going to do for Lent? Now, if you haven't thought about it already, you need to start thinking about it. It's a serious time. Because the works of Lent are prayer, penance, and almsgiving, if we do not have Jesus Christ in the Eucharist as the center of our prayer, most especially in Lent, then there's something wrong with our prayer. Now, I know that not everyone has the great grace to live in the same house as Jesus as the religious do. But everyone could probably spend a little more time with him in Eucharist. And that might simply mean getting to Mass a little bit earlier, 5-10 minutes earlier, or staying back behind if you can in Thanksgiving. It might mean dropping into a church on your way somewhere, a church that you pass on your way that might be open. And even if it's not open, dropping in just to say hello to Jesus, making that penance of stopping, getting out of the car, going to the door of the church, finding it locked, but saying hello to Christ anyway. Making spiritual communions. Lord, I can't receive you sacramentally right now, but I long for you. I need you in my soul. Please come to me. I think it was St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that our Lord appeared to, and he had a golden ciborium and a silver ciborium, and the golden one said, these are the sacramental communions you've received, the ones that you receive at Mass, and these are the spiritual communions that you've received, and they are both very pleasing to me. But even more than that, maybe during Lent, you could have as your Lenten penance / prayer coming to Mass more often. Maybe there's a day in the week that you can get to Mass. I know in our parish, in 2J, for example, on a Wednesday, normally there's a Mass in the evening, just once a week, that a parish priest runs. Maybe there's something like that in your parish, one time a week where you can actually make it to receive everything because you receive God Himself. To give God something that maybe you don't really have the time otherwise for, but you find the time because God is worth it. And because God asked us to make sacrifices for love. Because we know that's what love needs. Anyone who's been in love and has got past the butterflies in the stomach stage knows that it involves sacrifice. It involves death to self, that spiritual death is what I mean. In order to love, to give yourself, you need to give up yourself. And it's the same with God. And He gives us a tangible moment, element, if you will, I can't think of a better word at this point, in which we can offer our love to. We can talk to God anywhere, but we can talk to Him in a very special way here in the tabernacle, or as we have Him at the moment, on the altar. If you can't get to Mass, maybe a holy hour, maybe a holy 10 minutes. There are plenty of adoration chapels in Perth, all over the place. Some of them might be half an hour drive, but I assure you, if you have the opportunity, and not everyone does, I know that, work, family, etc., but you have an opportunity to do a holy hour every day during Lent, by the end of the Lent, you'll be glowing in the dark. Maybe not literally, but your life will change. That little sacrifice, and it might be a great sacrifice you make at the beginning, will become a joy for you. And it doesn't mean that you'll be necessarily jumping out of your skin when you go into the Adoration Chapel, but you will come to appreciate the company of Jesus Christ. There is no better company. He doesn't bug you by speaking at you all the time like I might be doing now. He's gentle in His words and in His manner. He is merciful. He just wants to be with you. He just wants you to spend some time with Him, and He is grateful. Can you imagine? A God who is grateful for the time that you spend with Him. He will be much more generous and reward you much more than you could ever give to Him. And so let us make this Lent a Lent like no other. Maybe when we were younger, for those who are not as young as you used to be, which is all of us, but you know what I mean, you had more zeal. Or maybe, you know, when you're younger, you give up chocolate or something like that, and then that, which you don't keep anyway. I remember when I was at school, I asked my mum if I could give up homework for Lent. Apparently it doesn't work that way. And it's not just about giving up sinful habits during Lent. Okay, during Lent, I'm not going to do this particular habit, which I'm not supposed to be doing anyway. It's a good time to give up sin, absolutely. If you're going to do it, the grace is there, absolutely. If you're having trouble, let's make Lent the time to give up that habit. But it's about giving up other things as well, good things, things that we love, things that we can offer to Christ. And ultimately, because Christ asks for our entire life, we're asked to be a crucified people. And that can be scary, but He will never ever allow us to do it alone, and He'll never allow us to do more than what we can handle. And so we come to Him for help, for grace, for strength, for courage. You know, again, for those who have been in love and you understand, sometimes when the whole world seems falling apart and the one whom you love embraces you, everything's good, for a moment at least. That is what Christ wants to give to you. I did see a holy card, I found it very beautiful, of a soul entering heaven, and Christ embraces him like a long-lost friend or a son. He's here in the Blessed Sacrament waiting to do that to us every time we come. Let's not ignore this gift that we have as Catholics, Because if we do, we not only risk losing a lot of merit when we get to heaven, and God's going to go, you had all those opportunities to spend with me. I was waiting for you. I had all this stuff to give you. Why didn't you come? I mean, even more so for us as religious. You know, I have Jesus two doors down from me. If I don't give him as much time as I can, woe to me. But for the rest of you as well, seek and search your lives and your hearts. How much more can I give to Christ in this great gift of the Blessed Sacrament? How often can I receive him during Lent, visit him, spend time with him, prepare my soul better for him? Of course, the sacrament of reconciliation is, of course, closely linked to that of the Eucharist. Because we need to be, as I've mentioned before in other Eucharistic talks, we need to become not just people who receive the Eucharist, we need to be Eucharistic people. People who are thankful for God and in that gratitude wish and strive to spend time with him. Let this Lent therefore be a Eucharistic Lent. Obviously always with Our Lady, the Mother of the Eucharist, and Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, always by our side to teach us how to love God more and more. But we need to love God more and more, most especially here in the Eucharist, so that we, like him, in the end, may be able to offer ourselves up as Christ did. And in offering ourselves up, not only do we receive new life again in the resurrection, but we bring many souls with us, those souls that didn't have the strength or didn't have the grace that all of you have here today. We pray for this great mercy from Christ. He wants to give it to us. And he said, if you ask, you shall receive. Let us pray for a love and a desire to know him and spend time with him more and more in the Blessed Sacrament in this holy season of Lent.